My name's Ian Humphreys, and I'm originally from the UK, but I've been living in Ireland since 1999.
Ian, what brought you to Ireland?
Oh. Well, the first thing was I flew to New York in the early 80s, and I looked out the window and I could see this beautiful landscape below me. And I said to my friend that I was traveling, "Where's that place?" He said, "It's Ireland, you idiot." And so I said, "That's the next place I'm going on holiday." So I did, and I fell in love with the place and the people.
What was it exactly that you loved about Ireland?
Well, the UK, parts of it are beautiful, the West Country where all my family are, but it's so densely populated. Whereas Ireland, when I got here, it was far less populated and such a beautiful landscape, and then such a rich culture of the music and the life in the pubs, which I fell in love with as well. And just the people were so warm and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Ian, you're an artist, so tell us a bit about that.
Well, I've always been an artist. Wasn't much good at anything else. And so the first thing that made me realise that was I was about four. And I was part of a large family. There was eight children. We're all very close in age. And on rainy days, my mother would give us paper that my father would bring back from work, huge big sheets of paper that there'd be technical drawings on one side but blank on the other, and she'd cut it up and give it to us, and we'd all be drawing away. And my favourite thing was to get a big handful of crayons and just scribble. And my brother said, "Oh, Mummy, Ian's wasting all the paper." So my mother came over and she picked up my little toy wooden train that my father had made me and said, "Put that on the table," and said, "If you drew that, you could do the scribbles for the steam coming out the funnel." Mm-hmm. So I did. And then she was amazed and my brothers were amazed, and I was allowed to stay up until my father came home from work. And he said, "Did John do that?" And Mother said, "No, it must have been Peter." Then, "No, was it Colin?" "No." "Well, it couldn't have been Ian." And he said, "Yes, it was." And he picked me up and he gave me a kiss and he said, "One day you'll be a great artist." And that was it, really. When I got to school, I've found that I could draw and quite well. I could say what I wanted to in drawing as well. I couldn't say what I wanted to in anything else. And then there was a lovely man in our village called Mr. Levy, and he came to the school and saw my drawings, and he worked in London, which was only about 40 miles away from where I was brought up. And every Saturday he used to take me up to London and drop me at the steps of somewhere like the National Gallery, and I could draw from the great masters all day, from about nine, I think it was, when I started doing that. So I had a great introduction to it.
Yeah, I was going to say that you had great, you know, support and everything. And I suppose that's what brought you to where you are today as well.
Absolutely. Another thing that brought me here was there's a lovely man called Chris Boone, who was English as well, but lived in Ireland and was an art dealer. And he said to me one day, "Ian, why do you keep coming here on holiday? Why don't you just move here?" And I said, "That's a great idea." So I did.
Yeah. Brilliant. And I suppose you never looked back?
No. Now, I go back to England to go and visit my family, my dear mother, who's 94 and lives near the sea in Devon and is very fit. And my brothers and sisters, and then all my nieces and nephews, of which there are hundreds. So we'll be next trip back there. There won't be until next March or so, when my mother will be 95 and we'll have a huge family get together.
Brilliant. You mentioned now that your mother lives near the sea, and a lot of what you do of your art is influenced by the sea. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, everywhere that I live would influence. Yeah, well, the environment that I'm in would influence it. If I was in London or New York, I couldn't paint these paintings at all. These paintings are totally about the environment that I'm in. And I think that's what you do, or I do as a painter, is just absorb things. I don't go out and make a sketch. and then think I'll paint it. I just paint and let what you've seen and experience come through you. So it's not a picture of something specific or particular, it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. And when the painting tells you that feeling's there, that's when you stop working on it. You know, the painting tells you. And all I am is that I'm the conduit to let the thing happen. So it's a case of just being in the studio every day that you can and paint. A bit like going fishing. You know, you've got to be there the whole time. But then you might catch something and you might not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ian, how would you describe your paintings?
Well, the most recent paintings tend to be quite large. There's the largest painting in the show is 8'6" by 5'5". 5'6".
Bigger than me.
Yeah. I like working physically. I'm 6 foot something. And I like the action of, I stand up obviously to paint. And I use the paint very thickly and then very thinly. And I use all kinds of tools, from big squeegees to sponges to large palette knives down to sticks, my fingers, as well as brushes of all shapes and sizes. And so there, when you look at the paintings, there are heavy impastoed areas and very glazed areas. And they, although they're very much about painting, people see the sea in them, or the feeling of the sea in them, and maybe the beach or and the sky. That's always somehow present in them. But they might be... the last painting I was saying is called Electrum, which is a mixture of gold and silver. And the painting's actually got gold and silver in it, gold and silver paint, and many shades of it in between. And the painting is about light. It just reflects back light, like the sea. Mm-hmm. Does.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have your exhibition here in the Butter Market in Kinmare, so tell us a bit about that.
Well, I was very lucky to be invited to put work here from John Good at the Mill Cove Gallery in Kinmare. Suggested it, and the Butter Market accepted it, and they've all been incredibly helpful and excited along with me about putting the thing up in such a wonderful space. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know the history of the Butter Market. It was a butter market.
Years, I got that.
Yeah, years and years ago. And then it was a dance hall, and then it was a cash and carry, and then it was empty, I think, and then these people bought it and turned it into a fantastic exhibition space. Mm-hmm. It's very large, and this is like a retrospective since I've been here, so you can fit work from every phase I've gone through. Mm-hmm. Whilst I've been here.
What did it feel like when they approached you about this idea and then accepted it?
I was just very excited. It's not often that you can see this body of work, this amount of work together, and to see it in such a clean, large space. So the paintings can see each other and I can see where I've gone. You know, it's like looking at your own history. And It's fascinating. I only see them in my studio, which is a very dirty, messy place.
Yeah, and then we have the clear white walls here, so that's, I suppose, right. It absolutely stands out to you completely.
Absolutely.
Now, you could only pick a few of what you've done over the years, so what kind of pictures and paintings do you have up at the moment?
Well, the first paintings in the show are still lives. When I was in the UK, I was painting still lives. But this painting was painted here and it is a still life, but you can see in it sort of reference to the sea already, and its title is Kedge, after a rock not far from where I live, in just round from Baltimore, West Cork. Mm-hmm. And after that, I painted from some people, and then the people and the still lives came together. In there are lots of objects at the bottom on a plinth or a table And they could have references to the Catholicism and paganism that's been here. And about the people here and the local history here. And then there are some very strange characters. And there's a mixture of figures that could come from dreams. I just start painting, these figures came out. But after a while, the figures had to disappear because I needed to look again. So I just painted just straight from the sea for a long time. And then slowly but surely, that developed into more abstract things in the studio. Mm-hmm. So over a period of time, it got more and more abstract. And there's one big area then of the exhibition where the movement, instead of being horizontal, it goes vertical. Mm-hmm. And that's because I was at the Joseph Albers Foundation in Connecticut, USA, on an artist in residence scheme. And I was surrounded by trees, so this vertical movement. It was the middle of winter and there were icicles falling all the time, beautiful, or snow. And they made this vertical movement arrive in the paintings. Thus reflects, again, the environment that I'm in. Mm-hmm. I didn't consciously think I've got to paint the snow. It just changed from horizontal to vertical. And when I got back here again, it changed back to the horizontal. So, and that's the way it's developed on. It's just become more and more heavily impasto. There are small, tiny paintings as well in there. And there's work on paper. But my favourite thing to do is the challenge of a very large canvas.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you can just let your imagination run with that.
I don't. This might sound funny. I try not to use my imagination. Okay. I try not to use my conscious mind. I try and just paint. And if I get lost in it, I do my best painting. If I am conscious thinking, I'll change this, I'll put this like that, or I'll paint this bit red or this bit, it always looks precocious and pretentious and awkward. But if I can just relax enough, mm-hmm. and don't try but paint in this kind of furious activity takes place, somehow it all comes out and works. And then I have moments of contemplation, looking and looking and looking and analysing it to see if it has worked. It's a bit like, though, driving a car. You probably drive it quite well if you're not thinking about, I must change gear now, I must put my foot on the clutch now, I must brake now. You don't think about that. You do it automatically and you get to a different place. Mm-hmm. And the painting, really good paintings like that, when I finished it, I got to a new place that I've never been to before, because I've let it happen. Mm-hmm. You make and you let, and it's a give and take between the two. You have a notion of a direction, but you don't have an idea of what it is until you've got there and finished.
Very wise words, Ian. Finally, how long is the expedition going on for, and when can people go and see it?
They can go and see it every day, except for the 16th, of September, as there's a wedding taking place at the venue, which would be very interesting to see what the wedding guests think of these paintings. But it starts on the 4th and it finishes on the 25th of September.
Brilliant. Perfect, Ian. Well, I hope everyone goes and sees this and see the artwork and the history behind it and your thinking as well. It's brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kaya.